join me in a word of prayer, please? Lord, we love you today. Lord, we're so grateful that you came and you went to an old rugged cross. And on that cross, you paid the sins for me. Lord, I'm so grateful that just as a young boy, in an old tabernacle, the preacher preached. And the Spirit of God convicted me and drew me. And that night, I asked you to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sins. And I've never been the same since that day. God, our desire is, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today would be that day. And God, we are grateful for Brother Strunk that has come this long ways to open the Word of God and preach to us. God, I pray for your special anointing upon his life today. God, I pray that as he preaches to us, I pray that you'd give him clarity of thought, and I pray that you'd give him unction from on high, Heavenly Father. God, we just love you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has closed its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. The roaring lion.
Let's pray once again. Father, thank you for the Sunday you've given us, the first day of the week, Lord God, to come and devote ourselves to worshiping you, Lord. Be in your church with your people, with your word, with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I'm so thankful, God, to be one of your children. And I thank you for those that are here this morning. And thank you for our guests, Lord, our return visitors. Father, we pray over the next several minutes, Lord, as Brother Strunk comes and preaches to us, that you'd anoint him with your spirit. And Father, this is just the start of it, Lord. We've got night services for the next few nights. We're excited about that, Lord. I just pray that during this time you would revive our hearts. We pray for those that have been mentioned earlier. We pray, Lord God, for Melissa. Just have mercy and pray, Lord God, that you just turn and work in her heart through this difficult time. Pray for the Purdue family, the Moore family, the Stevens family. Lord God, have mercy. Time won't allow more prayer, Lord. We want to get to the preaching. I pray that you'll bless our preacher this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Strunk is my favorite preacher, and I know y'all feel the same way. What happens when Brother Strunk comes is we get so much out of the first service, then it starts building. The evening services, it just gets better and better. People keep coming. He came all the way from Florida, and he's not a young fella anymore. He's not old yet, but he's not a young fella. And he drove, he don't fly. He drove all the way from Florida to be with us in New Testament Baptist Church in Lubbock. Only two meetings he's got out here. It's how much he cares about us. And so I'm so grateful he's here. He's going to need a little assistance this morning, so come on up here. I'll give you a hand.
Amen.
All right, you guys give him a good welcome here.
Why not have fun? Am I on? I am glad to be at Bible Baptist Church in Slayton, Texas. I married a Texan. Been married 62 years. I don't look old enough for that. Say amen. Well, I just love to be with John Wayne Chris Downer and his model of a wife, Trish, and the family. And boy, Brother Jenkins come in for the last part of his lesson today. And I mean, he got all over me about that ice cream. And the Williams know what I'm talking about. Isn't that amazing? That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That happened. What happened to me just last night, and then he's got to get on ice cream. Can you imagine that? And then, of course, the Jenkins are so special, and the Williams family is family with us. And I'm going to show mercy to Mrs. Williams, Valerie, this time. I'm not going to talk about the mashed potato escapade. I always do that when I come here. You know that, but I'm not going to do that this time, and she better double her love offering because I've been willing to make that great sacrifice. Now, I think it's supposed to rain a little bit this evening, and I didn't turn the windshield wipers on one time all the way from Jacksonville to here, except one of the men said, "You got some smart men here," because he said, I said that to him, and he said, "Yeah, but you turn it on. You turn the washers on to wash the windshield." I mean, there's always a smart aleck in every church. Boy, he nailed me with that. But I understand you need the rain.
Amen.
So it won't be anything we can't handle. And I really don't want you to miss Tuesday night, because I'm going to put a Harley Davidson motorcycle on the platform. A motorcycle, a Harley Davidson. I rode motorcycles from the time I was 12 until I was 74. And I told my wife when I got just a little bit shaky, I would get off of it. And so 74, I just lost enough edge that I knew it was time to give it up. But I went from that down to Mazda Place and traded it for a Mazda MX-5 stick shift 6-speed convertible, black on black. I drove that to youth camp when I preached the camp that you invited us to. And I had to get out of that because the pedals were so little, the clutch and the brake pedal. I had to get out of that because of neuropathy. You know, this aging has a way of doing things to you. It's kind of like the highway patrol that pulled over an elderly woman about my age, and he came up to the window and said, "What's your hurry? I clocked you at too high a speed." And her husband was in the seat next to her, and he started laughing. And he said, "Young man, she's driving so fast so we can get there before we forget where we're going." And you know what? I hope you can relate to that. And I hope those of you that can't relate to that, if God would just let me live long enough to see it come to you. I'd like to see it happen, because it's growing older in for sissies. But I'll tell you one thing, as Brother Jenkins said this morning, we're on the winning side. Amen. Don't miss Tuesday night. I haven't even asked the pastor for the permission to do it. But we're going to put a Harley-Davidson motorcycle on the platform Tuesday night. I'm not going to ride it. I won't make any promises about the grease and oil that'll be dropping. Now, I'm going to test you, so listen closely. My subject this morning is the smitten heart. What is my subject this morning?
The smitten heart.
The smitten heart. And I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Because nothing speaks of the Bible better than the Bible itself. I want you to look at these verses with me and turn your DVD on and picture what we're reading concerning the smitten heart. 1 Samuel chapter 24, page 509 in my Bible. 1 Samuel 24, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. This cave was big enough that David could be in one side of it out of sight with his men, and Saul could be on the other side of it with his men. And so in verse 4, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever had chest pains? What about spiritual chest pains? your heart, the center of your life. Do you ever hurt inside when you hurt somebody else? The hearts of Americans are diseased, fatally diseased. When sin becomes the new norm, our days are numbered. The conscience of America is seared. We are on the brink of God giving up many to a reprobate mind, which means a mind that is void of God. People in society and God's people are becoming numb, calloused, careless, lukewarm, like the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation 3, where God said, because thou art neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And the original word on that spew is vomit. God said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, as we strive to take care of our church, rightfully so, our family, our nation, don't forget to take care of your heart, your spiritual heart, the intellect, emotion, and will, the control room of your life. Check it daily. When we go to the doctor, our doctor normally takes our blood pressure, sometimes an EKG. They're checking up because they know that heart blockage can become fatal if it's not caught early. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Ladies and gentlemen, we are what we think. That's why we need to be careful of what we watch, what we hear, what we see, because as we thinketh, so are we. I don't know about you, but I'm watching very little news now. I'd rather get a good old-fashioned Western and watch it on television than I would to watch the news, because it's 24 cycle over and over and over again. And if you're not careful and you're watching that too much, it will depress you. We ought to pray about what's happening. We ought to pray for Ukrainian people. We ought to pray for trouble around the world. But those are issues that we cannot solve, and God does not want us to be plagued with them. And if you take in too much of it, it will affect you, whether you are feeling it immediately or not. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That wrong thought, that wrong word, that wrong reaction, where did that come from? It came from the heart. Someone said, great men have great hearts. Not so much about having great minds and great talents as having a great heart. I'm talking today about a heart that is soft, that is warm, easily moved, confident, and humble. In our text that we've read today, in verse 5, we see that David's heart was smitten. There is something beautiful about a smitten heart. God is attracted to them. A heart that can still feel guilty about sin, sick about lying or gossiping or hurting someone, sick about missing church, neglecting the Bible, skipping prayer, smitten by God's Spirit when he robs God of tithes and offerings, and smitten when we fail to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me make this statement. Thank God for pain. Blessed pain. When you can feel pain, when you can't feel pain, you are in great danger. I hate pain. Who likes it? I had a little growth on my eyelid on this right eye on the top, and it just looked like one of those little, what are they called, potato growths or something on your body. It didn't look bad at all. Man, I'm loaded with those things. Don't try to visualize that, please. But I thought that's what it was on my eyelid. So we have a tremendous dermatologist, Dr. Schwartzman. And so my wife and I were in getting checked here recently, just a few weeks ago. And I said, is there anything you can do about that? Because that thing was sticking out just enough that every time I looked in the mirror, it bothered me. I mean, it's bad enough when I look in the mirror, much less having something, a wart sticking out across my eyeball. So I said, is that difficult? No, we can take care of that. And then he got the needle. Anybody that loves needles is an idiot. And then he got the needle. And he said, now you will feel a little prick, a little sting. And he held that eyelid out and stuck that needle in that eyelid. That makes you cringe, doesn't it? He said, now you'll feel just a little sting. I want to tell you, it was more. It was more than a little sting. And he took that off. And he said, I'm sure it's okay. And I hated it. A couple weeks later, I got a call. And he said, you need to come back in because it was squamous cell cancer. So it was back in again. And again came the little sting. I'm going to tell you, just the thought of being that close to your eyeball. And then there's some diabetics and some people that get shots right in the eyeball. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I'm a coward. I believe he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. I even asked Dr. Schwartzman, can you put me out for this? What big sissy, but I did. And of course they all laughed and they thought it was funny, but I didn't. And I really would have just, I'd rather, anytime there's a needle involved, especially in my around my eye, I wish they could just put me out. But that was not, but thank God for pain. You don't know pain until you pass a kidney stone. My wife was with my dad-in-law when my mother passed away, and she was down in Orlando helping, and I came up to Jacksonville because I needed to for the church. And I got home about midnight and I got to bed about 2:00 and I got to sleep, and at 3:00 I woke up. And when I woke up, it felt like somebody stabbing me in the back. And so it's a man thing. I thought, well, I've lifted something wrong, or that's all a man thing. Denial, because this was more than just a twist. And to give you the Reader's Digest version, I ended up on my face on the floor, crawling into the den, crawling and sweat pouring off of me, and I still didn't have enough sense to call and get help because I thought it would pass. And I never had anything like that. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, I called my associate, Jim Beaver, and I said, "Can you come?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Get here as quick as you can." And I had to crawl. Now, unless you've been there, you don't understand. I had to crawl to the door. And I reached up and opened the door. And he said, "Preacher," he thought I'd had a heart attack. And I said, "Get me to the hospital." And he got me to St. Vincent's Hospital. And they wheeled me into the emergency room. And when they saw me, they let me right in. And I mean, they put me in that little room, and a very kind nurse came in, and she hooked up an IV to me. And she shot some juice to me. And I mean, as she was shooting it, that pain was diminishing and diminishing. And I kept saying, "More, more, give me some more." I mean to tell you, thank God for drugs used legitimately at the right time. I wanted more. Well, that got me in there, and they gave me some strong pain medicine and home and passed that kidney stone, and it was... is what they call it. You're interested in this, aren't you? It's what they call a staghorn kidney stone. It didn't look the size of a pinhead, and that thing caused that much terror for me. Dr. Dawson, my urologist, said his wife had had 6 babies and had had kidney stones, and said she'd rather have the babies than the kidney stones. So I think I've had babies. But I take that back, because I didn't face the doors of death like a mother does in childbearing, but I thought I was at the door of death. Pain is good. It doesn't feel good when it happens, but pain is actually a good thing. Now, God referred to David as a man after God's own heart. This had a lot to do with David's heart. It was tender and sensitive. And in 1 Samuel 24, David's heart was smitten with shame that he had touched God's anointed. He had a fear of God and a respect for the king. It would not have bothered most people, because Saul was plagued with jealousy and hatred, and on 3 occasions tried to murder David. But David's heart still recognized that he had crossed a boundary. There is always hope for a smitten heart. What does smite mean? It means to strike with a firm blow, to defeat or conquer, to affect severely, to be strongly attracted to someone or something. And I say to you this morning that revival comes when enough of God's people have a smitten heart. What often happens... are you still listening? Say amen. I'm going to let you get out of here. I'm hungry too. What often happens is that sin unconfessed and hidden hardens the heart. The heart is the deepest, innermost part of our being. It is the control center of the soul. It is connected to, but deeper than, the conscience. Every man has a conscience, but God's people have the Holy Spirit. The conscience can be trained. The conscience can be seared and dulled, but not the Holy Spirit. And so, just for a couple of hours now, not over two, I would like to give you just two things. Number one, we need to be smitten with thankfulness. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Someone said, "A great man is a grateful man." Think and thank come from the same root word. A thinking man will be a thankful man. In Psalm 32, verse 1, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." We need to be smitten with thankfulness. I think probably, I don't know this, it's my opinion, but I think that probably my wife says, "Honey, don't do that. Don't do that stuff. I'm going to do what I want to do." The only time you can change a man is when he's a baby. We need to be smitten with thankfulness. I believe we're probably the most spoiled generation the world has ever known. God has been good to us. Want to get rich quick? Count your blessings. Amen. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. God has been good to us and to me. He answers our prayers. He's still a prayer answering God. Turn your DVD on and picture this. A woman took her little boy to the grocery store. She put him in the grocery cart, and she said, "Don't you ask for any chocolate chip cookies. You do not do that, do you understand?"
"Yes, ma'am."
So they got to the cookie aisle, and he cried out, "I want some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "I told you, you do not ask for chocolate chip cookies." Went a little further and he cried out again, "I want some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "Shut up, you can't have any." So when they were checking out, that little devil stood up in the cart, shut his eyes and cried out, "Dear Jesus, please let me have some chocolate chip cookies." And he went out with 23 boxes. Well, are we surprised? God answers prayer. He has been so good to us. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 has in the last few years become one of my 10 favorite scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, it does not say "for everything give thanks." Only an idiot would be thankful for everything. Doesn't say for everything. But it says in everything. Does the Bible mean what it says? It says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means if you're a saved, born again child of God, say amen. Amen. That means that God wants us to mature to the point in our life where no matter what happens, where it happens, who it happens to, how heartbreaking it is, that even in the midst of that and the shedding of tears and the broken heart, we can still give thanks. For that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And here's what you'll find out. It always works. No matter what's happening, we give thanks. Because God is good. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, God's got it. God's got it. You said it in Sunday school. God's got it. A lot of people were so upset about the last election. Well, I wasn't happy about it. Is it okay if I say that here? I mean, after all, I'm going to leave Wednesday, so... Boy, well, look what we're seeing. I like you because you're encouraging me with that smile. It's like saying, sick 'em. And you're like the pastor. You're a macho man. He ain't no sissy boy. The last election, we had so many people so depressed in the church. And I tell them, I say, look. We're not to be down and afraid. And I tell them, and it's the truth, nothing happens that God does not permit for His purposes. Nothing. Nothing happens that God does not permit for His purposes. Ladies and gentlemen, God's got it. And even so, come Lord Jesus. And be careful who you're watching on TV and listening to on the radio, because there's a lot of false prophets out there that are teaching false doctrine, saying that things are going to get better and better and better, and there's going to be a great worldwide revival before. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible says things are going to get worse and worser for the English teachers here. But we're to look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. We ought to be thankful. Be thankful. Hey, be thankful for the way God made you. You're unique. You're special. Yes, you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Be you. If you don't be you, who's going to be you? Be you. Be glad for God, how God made you. You know, I have this imagination, and I love it because I just have a good time with it. I just see it. This little boy was staring at his mummy, just staring. And finally, the mummy said, what is it, sweetie? And he said, do I have a weird nose too? Secondly, are you still awake? I'm going to respect your time so you won't have any excuse not to be back. If you don't come tonight, I hope your TV blows up. And the warranty's out on it. Secondly, we need to be smitten about unconfessed sin. We've gotten so calloused. Well, yes, we are. We're calloused. There's not a lot of sensitivity anymore. In our culture now, wrong is right. And no matter what anybody says, are we on live stream? No matter what anybody says, God created male and female, created he them. I'm leaving Wednesday, the fallout will come on him. We live in a mixed up world. And we need to practice 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us with all unrighteousness, from all unrighteousness. I want to be close to Jesus. Don't you? Amen. Now, your heads are bowed, please. Every head bowed. To stay seated, every head bowed. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. Before we sing the invitation hymn, Just As I Am, I'm going to ask you to do something. First of all, if you can't look back over your life and remember the time and the place that you asked Jesus to save you, and I know the kind of preaching and teaching you get here, and most all of you know this, maybe somebody. You, if you've really been saved, you ought to remember when it happened. You might have forgot the exact date, the exact day, but you will remember if it was morning or night, in a church, in a hospital, or at home. If you really got born again, you know it. And if you can't look back and say, I know that I was saved. I'm saved. I know it today. Folks, if you're not saved, get saved today. I mean to tell you, it's shaping up fast. Even unsaved people will say something big's on the horizon, and it is. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Bible believers can hear the hoofbeats of Armageddon. If you don't know you're saved, please come to Jesus. The Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. The Holy Spirit touches your heart. And if you are being touched and you say, how do I know that? You're thinking right now, I need to take care of this. I need to get this thing settled. I know I need to be saved. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And if that's the case with you, in just a few moments, we're going to sing the invitation hymn, Just As I Am. The pastor will be here at the front. There'll be other people that will counsel with you and help you. You come when we sing and tell somebody up front here, I want to be saved. And praise God, you can be saved today. Everybody that believes that, say amen. Amen. Secondly, if you're here today and you're visiting and you need a church home, you can't do better than this. I mean to tell you, I love this pastor because he's genuine. He's got a pastor's heart. There's not a whole lot of them out there now. He's got a wife that supports him in his ministry. He's got a good family. I'm telling you, the word is preached here. There's good singing. The doctrine is sound. The people here are here to see each other through and not through each other. If you need a church home, you couldn't do better. Say, how would I know if God wants me here right now? In your heart, in your mind, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And if God wants you here, before I've even said this, you've been touched about it, and you ought to go ahead and make that move and get anchored in the church. It is the most important thing after you're saved in your life. If you believe that's true, say amen. And it is. And then, Christian, today, do you have a smitten heart? God's touched you in that special way. You might come to these old-fashioned, tear-stained altars, have a little talk with Jesus, and talk to him about your heart and how you want to be close to him again, or closer than you are, or pray for someone or with someone. But whatever you should do, be sure to do it when we sing. Would you stand, please? And Heavenly Father, as we're standing in Jesus' name, may your will be done as we sing this great invitation hymn, Just As I Am. Will you come?
Just as I
We need Christians at this altar praying for this revival for the next few days, praying for the salvations of souls and for souls to be revived through the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit and His Word. And so we need that right now as we begin this altar call. Christians, come pray.
Just
continued prayers for this meeting for the next few days and your attendance. I know you guys are going to want to come back and hear Brother Strunk. Invite somebody. Tell them, say, there's this funny old guy up there that preaches at the church. And I'll tell them, say, man, we got a great preacher that's here in town. Would you come listen to him? He's the kind of guy. How old are you, brother? Do you mind? 83. And just how relevant he is at that age, just a powerful man of God. Appreciate him so much. Pray about that and be back tonight at 6 o'clock. And then Monday night and Tuesday night will be 7 o'clock services. And then Wednesday night, I'll just remind you, we've been doing this the last few years. It's worked really well. There'll only be kids ministry here on Wednesday night, okay? We'll give you a break. You've been here all weekend, and you just enjoy your time at home. Let me remind you, the mother-daughter $10 banquet. Today is the last day to get signed up. Buy your tickets. It's $10 a person. That price is only to offset the price of our catering and all that's involved. This is going to be this Friday night at 6 p.m. at the Kessel Building downtown. And I hope that you'll plan to be there. You don't have to be a mother. You don't have to be a daughter. All you need to do is be there as a female. And we just call it the mother-daughter banquet, okay? Mother's Day's right around the corner. Come be a part of that. There's a table in the back to get your tickets, okay? And we appreciate that. All right, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. First of all, he alluded to something that is very, very, very much in need of prayer. Rain. We've got better chances today than we've had in a while. They're not extreme chances, but we have some chances. God knows what we need. He wants to know that we know that he's the one that can give it. So we need to talk to him in prayer and let him know that, hey, we're dependent upon you, God. We need moisture in this country. This whole region is desperately in need of rain. You know as well as I do, we're dependent upon these crops, the livestock, everything. We need some moisture, folks, okay? All right, let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Lord bless you and see you back here tonight. Jeff, will you lead us in a word of prayer?